episode 19. Naughty, nice, you better believe. You better believe we've got three co-hosts today. Not one, not two, not three. Of course, you've got your full complement of Ryan and Dave.
I'm here.
We also...
I'm the Dave of that.
He's the Dave. I'm the Ryan. We also have an additional stranger in here to talk in your ears, whisper sweet nothings as you go about your daily life. One of my best good friends, Mr. Kevin Bradway.
Hello. Very happy to be joining both of you. Think the world of both of you, and both are super talented.
It's so awesome that you can sound that good with both of our dicks in your mouth. That's outstanding.
So you better enjoy Kevin, because you're going to hear a lot of him over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's right.
Why is that, Dave?
Because I'm leaving for a little bit.
Yeah,
Dave. I gotta have a baby.
Yeah, like I said last week, he's super pregnant. Like, the baby right now, like, I can see the hand sticking out of Dave's asshole.
Yep.
That's where babies come from, right?
Yep, this one. So the rest of September, you'll hear Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin and I will be I don't know that we'll be doing the exact same thing. We'll be doing something similar, some kind of nonsense. But at least for this week, you'll get pretty close to what we have been giving you before with a little bit of Kevin. Briefly glossed over the tagline contest for this week. It comes directly from a movie that Dave has been slobbering all over for the past couple weeks.
Kind of the title of last week's show, too.
Yeah, the picture from last week's episode. So this week, I'm not so much testing how much you know about movies. I'm testing...
It's The Rise of the Guardians.
Yes. I was going to say, we're testing if you can read or identify pictures.
It was a picture from the movie Rise of the Guardians.
It was one of the taglines for the film Rise of the Guardians. So if you care, if there's any signs of life out there, and if you'd really like to have a button with hopefully our newly redesigned logo that we're going to get from one of you, you can send us Rise of the Guardians or a new logo or both in an email to moviesonup@gmail.com. You can go to our website, click on our Facebook link or whatever, and go to the Facebook page for Movies On Up, or tweet directly at Dave, who I'm hoping is still going to be manning the Twitter in his absence. That's at Movies On Up. Maybe. We might go radio silent on Twitter for a while.
We kind of all already are. I don't really do much.
More so than usual.
Yeah. But
maybe Kevin does the Twitters. Maybe.
Possible. You
know. Yeah, maybe.
Kevin, I got to remember the password. This week on the show, though, we got lots of news on some Michael Fassbender, some Renee Zellweger, Old Boy, Ty West, Michael Keaton again 2 weeks in a row. Then we're going to talk about a ton of trailers. Got some spooky ones, got some silly ones, got some witchy ones,
and one
from a friend of mine from high school that Ryan didn't like. And we're going to be doing our live fantasy film ball draft between me and Ryan.
Your friend from high school doesn't listen to the podcast, does he?
Kinda.
Ah, shit. Well, see, I'm glad you totally gave me a chance to backpedal about that, and I'm being completely sarcastic, because I probably would have... Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get there. Normally, at this point in the podcast, we do some box office stuff.
It's not worth it this week.
For several reasons. One, full disclosure, pulling the curtain back, we're recording early, again, because Dave's trying to have a baby. So, this is a Saturday morning. So, obviously, you know, box office numbers, we, you know, wouldn't be very accurate, and they'd only be for, essentially, Friday nights. So, we might do... And another thing, yeah, the ones
it's
that are coming out suck.
It's pointless this week.
Yeah.
You got The Words... Cold Light of Day, and then some.
Those are
limiteds.
The wide releases.
Yeah, and yeah. Cold Light of Day is only a medium wide. And then Bachelorette and Branded and Limited. And then you have Indiana Jones, one of the Indiana Jones ones going in IMAX.
I thought that was an IndyCar race in IMAX.
No.
Is it
no.
Crystal Skull?
No, it was either Raiders or Temple of Doom. Yeah.
All right.
One of them was in IMAX on like 30 screens this week.
It's probably the first one, because I'm sure they're going to do it with all of them.
Well, and they've probably got to be approaching some sort of a. anniversary
milestone.
With that.
This might be one of the worst box office weeks of the year.
Oh, it's supposed to be. Because August was such a bad month. Dark Knight Rises, which came out in July, was the biggest moneymaker in August. It made more money than anything through August.
Yeah, I mean, I think Expendables was number one for a couple weeks in a row, and that didn't even do that well.
No, so we're in that crap season where... You're going to be lucky to get $20 million.
I can understand the idea of wanting your movie to come out in the summer, but if you were a big release, why wouldn't you come out at this time? You might be able to ride the end of August, beginning of September through, you know, that really where Christmas season hits.
Which, that's kind of what the Expendables do. They come out late August, and try to carry it over, because they were number one for a few weeks.
But they seem like they're the only ones that are doing that?
Yeah, yeah. Because even the new, we're going to talk about it later, but the new Stallone Schwarzenegger one is a September release next year. So, yeah. I mean, you might see it more. Because, like, you look at what March has done the past few years. March is like a preamble to summer. Like, you have...
March or May?
Well, March is like... March, you usually have one blockbuster that you could see releasing in summer, but they put out in March instead. That's happened for the past few years, so...
Yeah, I mean, I think we've kind of talked a little bit of strategy about, you know, doing some different things during the summer, some different things during the fall. Basically, we just want everyone to do different things than they're doing right now because, you know, we're all tired of it. And that's what we do on Movie Podcast. We just bitch about the way things are. Nothing to bitch about with our first story. If you've been with us from the beginning, you'll probably get a little bit of a chuckle out of the way David wrote this. Michael Fassbender is ready to show off his funny bone. Signs on for the comedy Frank from the writers of The Men Who Stare at the Goats. He will play the lead of an eccentric rock band. Domhnall Gleeson will co-star with Lenny Abrahamson directing.
I'm all for it. I want to see Fassbender in comedy. Because he doesn't really... Anything I've seen him in, I haven't really seen him... Like, he kind of loosened up in Fish Tank a little bit, but not a ton. And that definitely wasn't a comedy, but there were, like, playful scenes. He doesn't do a lot of playful stuff.
I wasn't the biggest fan of Men Who Stare at Goats, but I'm excited to see Fassbender in this. I tend to like Fassbender quite a lot. And
that's why we brought you on.
And he's a striking-looking man.
That's the other reason.
I absolutely would believe that he could front a rock band on looks alone.
Plus, I like Domhnall Gleeson. That's Brendan Gleeson's son. So it'll be fun. I forget who it's based loosely on. It's based loosely on a British rocker, but his name escapes me.
Is it John Lennon?
No, it was Frank something.
Frank Freddie Mercury.
Is it Ringo Starr?
I'm not even getting on mic. I'm not even coming back to mic to justify this.
Is it Pete Best?
The rumored threequel to Richard Linklater's Before Sunset, Before Sunrise, is not only is that happening, but it's already shooting. Apparently it's shooting with Julie Delpy and Ethan Hawke, as they will return for... Now let's see. Take 2 seconds, see if you can guess what the title of this movie might be. Before Sunset, Before Sunrise, Before Midnight. Okay.
It's not even shooting. It's done shooting already. Like, they wrapped already. And Delpy and Ethan Hawke have been denying that they're even doing it. Or saying it's in production, so they were just joshing the whole time, and now it's filmed already.
Well, they got me.
Yeah, I don't care.
No.
I'm like the only one that doesn't like those movies.
I don't like those movies.
I don't care.
I like Julie Delpy, but I like those movies.
I like 2 Days in Paris.
Renee Zellweger of Bridget Jones fame to direct Johnny Knoxville, of course, in 4.5 minutes, the story based on the life of stand-up comic Dav Davidoff, who took a job caring for a child genius. Not the little baby genius, folks, but an actual smart kid, while trying to make it as a stand-up. Knoxville will play a fictionalized version of Davidoff, with Zellweger playing the child's single mother. He's a child.
I thought we'd move past the point of giving Johnny Knoxville leads.
I hoped.
Because, like, he has a bit part in Fun Size. I'm sure he'll be fine. He looks like he destroys that
the Arnold
Schwarzenegger
one, the last
movie. He looks terrible. Yeah. So I have low hopes for this. I can't see him as a stand-up. I can't see Zellweger as a director. No thank you.
Yeah, I don't want to see any.
And I don't like Dav Davidoff.
I don't think I mind him, really. But he would be the part... And as far as we know, he's not even really in the movie, is he?
No, he gets a story credit because it's based on his life.
All right, but that would be the only part that even somewhat interests me, is the part that's not even in the movie. So, moving right along. Paul Thomas Anderson says the burnout detective caper Inherent Vice may be next for him. He's currently working on the screenplay adapting the Thomas Pynchon novel. Robert Downey Jr. was attached to play the lead. Maybe he is, maybe he's not. We really don't know.
Paul Thomas Anderson mentioned this like 2 years ago. And that was when Robert Downey Jr. was attached. He might be too busy now, so... But...
Yeah, he's got the
Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, the Sherlock Holmes and the Batman movies, right? That's him.
Yeah. So
I'm especially excited for this. Actually, I'm a big Paul Thomas Anderson fan, and after There Will Be Blood and haven't seen The Master yet, obviously, both have a heavy feel, an overwhelming feel, after Punch Drunk Love and Boogie Nights, we know he can do this type of movie. And my favorite thing that I actually read that Paul Thomas Anderson said about this script is that it's a Cheech and Chong movie, and that excites me.
It's going to be more of a comedy. I think. Like more of, I think it's going to have more mainstream appeal than anything he's done, especially recently. Like Boogie Nights hit the mainstream pretty hard.
Yeah, but then he kind of did retreat to his. I mean, they've been good movies, but they're not
I've
for
loved
everyone.
Every one of them,
yeah,
but they're not for everyone.
And yeah, I think it would be interesting.
I mean, this one. How many washed up detective stories are there? Like they're relatable.
Just
like,
about everyone now.
Yeah, people get into them, so yeah. I could see him doing. I think it could. I mean, I think it's going to be really good because it's him.
But it'll be interesting to see his version of a comedy, like what he thinks is funny.
I also feel he brings out the best in a actor. So I'd like to see him work with Robert Downey Jr. He's really got some great performances out of everyone he's worked with.
There's no doubt there will be plenty of great performances abound in our next film. Oh, no, they didn't. Gnomeo and Juliet, the sequel. Sherlock Gnomes taps John Stevenson of Kung Fu Panda to direct.
Did anybody see Gnomeo and Juliet?
I don't know. I was going to ask
you. It was a punchline. Like, it was a huge punchline, but I don't know that it... Without looking at the numbers, I don't even know that anybody cared about it.
I'm not going to look at the numbers.
No.
I could.
I care that little about it.
Yeah, but we care enough to tell you there's going to be a sequel. So if you did like Gnomeo and Juliet, we're not here to judge. We
no,
accept
I am.
Everyone.
Watch better movies.
Dave's here to judge. Speaking of small things, small creepy little things that you might have in your garden, shooting has begun on The Curse of Chucky. Brad Dourif returns to voice Chucky in the sixth installment of the franchise. Franchise creator Don Mancini is writing and directing again, so you can all...
I've read two different things. This, I might be a direct-to-DVD. I don't even know if this is getting a wide, but I think it stars Brad Dourif's daughter, because the lead actress is a Dourif, is the same last name, and I don't think that's coincidence, so...
I hope this is direct-to-DVD.
I think it's about time.
I want no part of this coming out in the
direct
theater.
To DVD. I don't think I've wanted any part of the last several Child's Play movies. Although, I guess we can't even really call them Child's Play anymore because it's Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky.
Seed of
like
Chucky,
they've
yeah.
gotten rid of the. I think probably about when they
I
stopped calling
this,
it Child's Play. That's when
I think
stopped
this one
caring.
Is going to get back to that, though, because I think it's more hunting a family. It's supposed to bring it full circle to. I don't know.
Yeah,
I read it, but
yeah, I don't think we really need to speculate too much on a movie that none of us care about or will see. Old boy, the good, the bad, and the ugly of Film District. They've already brought us Insidious, which Dave can't stand.
Makes me angry.
I hated it.
I maintain it's pretty decent. So, Kevin, you're fired. The Rum Diary, Drive, Safety Not Guaranteed, and very soon, Looper. So those are, I mean, obviously I'm outvoted on Insidious, but I think we could all kind of agree that the rest of them either were good or look like they're going to be good with Looper specifically. They have signed on to distribute Spike Lee's Old Boy that will be starring Josh Brolin, Elizabeth Olsen, and Charlton Copley of the apparently Academy Award nominated District 9. And just to kind of give a full painting of Film District, they're also the folks that are responsible for giving us Red Dawn and the Gerard Butler soccer movie we talked a little bit about last week, Playing for Keeps.
Well, that's more hits than misses.
It's still a good ratio.
I would say they may be trending in the wrong direction, however.
Yeah,
that
I guess.
Red Dawn trailer doesn't look like the best
thing.
Yeah,
but that's when you consider how old that movie is. Like, that movie was done. That's been shelved for so long. And you can't not put it out now with Hemsworth and Hutcherson where they're at. So I think they realize it's a piece of garbage, but you got to cash in if you can.
Yeah, I mean, the movie's already made. It can make, you know, if it makes $3 million at the box office,
$3
million
more than it makes on the shelf.
Exactly. Ty West's next effort may make $3 million. It will be called The Sacrament with Eli Roth producing it. Maybe it won't make $3 million. West is writing and directing and claims to be aiming for more mainstream appeal than his previous works. It will begin filming at the end of the year.
Ty West doesn't make any sense to me because I didn't like House of the Devil, but I liked a lot about House of the Devil. I didn't overall like The Innkeepers, but I liked a lot about The Innkeepers. So, like, I don't like anything he's done, but I keep watching it. His part in VHS was dreadful.
Was that the one about the vacationing couple?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was miserable.
Those movies move painfully slow.
And that's why he's saying this one's going to be like more for a mainstream audience. I'm interested to see that. I think he's a super talented guy. I think sometimes he gets in his way a little bit. Like, he kind of gets in his own way. So if he's trying to appeal to that mainstream audience, I'm excited for it. Like, he has good ideas. He gets really good performances from especially actresses. Like, the female performances in his movies are top notch.
I think bringing Eli Roth on board for an editorial standpoint, Eli Roth, like him or not, knows horror movies, and teaming them together, whether he has that role or whether he's just slapping his name on it, should stand out as an improvement.
Yeah, it does seem like the things that, you know, again, like him or hate him, about Eli Roth's movies, they're generally not slow moving. They're generally not boring.
He writes for the mainstream, like 100%. Yeah.
Right. So between the two of them, you know, they ought to be able to do something pretty decent. As we do every week, we love to delve deeply into young teens and what they
always
like
about
to
digging
read
into the young teens.
And that will be no different right now. There is another teen / young adult novel that'll be taking place in a dystopian future, and we're going to make a movie out of it. Not us, because, you know, we don't have any money or ambition. But Disney, on the other hand, has both. Disney and David Slade are matched. Kieran and Michelle Maroney of Sherlock Holmes 2 have provided the script, which sees a young woman without the ability to choose fall in love with a man she isn't matched with. The first book in a series, which will probably spawn several other movies.
I mean, the third book comes out in November or so, so there's two out there now, but it's another one of those. It just sounds terrible. Nothing about it sounds like a good idea.
This theme of movies that are made for 13-year-old girls, I feel like it kind of sneaky snuck up on us. Like, there was a bunch of, I can remember a couple years ago, there's a bunch of remakes of old 80s slasher movies. It all came out at PG-13. It's like, wait, what the hell? And I didn't kind of give it a second thought. But now, are 13, 14, 15-year-old girls a giant-ass portion of the moviegoers now?
Ask Twilight.
That's what I'm saying. Twilight, Hunger Games.
Because that's where it's coming from, is that Twilight kicked off this, like, vampire craze. People got burnt out on vampires. Hunger Games struck at the right time. It's a teenage thing that takes place in a dystopian future. So because that did so well, anything that's taking place in the dystopian future, even if they're garbage books, are going to get put out.
We just talked a couple weeks about Z for Zachariah. Not a garbage book. It won awards.
But that's not really a teen awards. Young reader one, is it?
Yeah.
It was? Okay.
I read it as a teen young reader.
Because I know the Maze Runner and another garbage one are coming out. They're working on.
Yeah, we probably. I remember talking about the Maze Runner, and I think there was another one. We usually kind of go back to back those, or give you a couple in a week. There might be another one in here. I don't know. I thought I saw one, but I could just be running together. Dave teased it in the opening, and that is Michael Keaton news 2 weeks in a row. He will be directing an indie dramedy called Buttercup, which sees a woman attempting to get her father's life back on track.
Yeah, this could be good. I like Keaton. His last directorial effort wasn't great, but
what was it?
I forget the name of it. The Wonderful, the last is I for, it was 2008,
that good.
Eight, yeah, I think. Okay. But this movie's been bouncing around for a while, and Jennifer Aniston and Alan Alda were attached, but they both disappeared from it. So there's going to be casting and everything now. But I like Keaton enough.
I like him enough. Is he doing the acting directing thing?
I don't think
just behind the camera.
He might show up in a small part, but it's like Jennifer Aniston, Alan Alda are like perfect casting. Keaton's not quite old enough to take that Alan Alda role.
I guess he's not. But if Jennifer Aniston's gone, can we get a younger chick that's attractive?
Possibly.
Yeah, I'm all for that. Give me a young chick and Michael Keaton. I'll take that over Hawkeye and the horse face. That sounds like a morning
if
show.
If you know about Keaton, he tends to be very selective over everything he does. He kind of stays in hiding, etc. So, I mean, I guess I would have high hopes for it that, you know, he selected something that's not going to be total garbage.
The same can't be said for Nicolas Cage. He does sometimes.
The Merry Gentleman. That was the name of it.
The name of the Michael Keaton?
The Michael Keaton 2008 directorial debut.
Nicolas Cage is also a merry gentleman.
Very good. You're picking up on how this podcast works. Really ham-handed segues. And I'm not going to bother trying to reset either of them because I don't remember what they either were at this point. Nicolas Cage will star as Joe in David Gordon Green's Joe. The story based on a 1991 Larry Brown novel, which I'm surprised he could find time to write a novel and coach basketball, follows Joe as he teams with a 15-year-old boy to search for redemption.
I'm glad to see David Gordon Green back to this kind of movie because he's made some really good movies. And then he went and made Pineapple Express, The Babysitter, and Your Highness, which I enjoyed all three. But he's too talented to only be doing stuff like that. So this looks like a mix between. This looks like a mainstream version of his early stuff, which I'm for.
Yeah, and I think sometimes that you have to make those Pineapple Express movies so that you can get a bit of mainstream cred that when you come back around, the indie people will still be there. You get people that, oh, this is the guy that did Pineapple Express. Cool, that was a funny movie. And then they go see the new one.
But the bad thing about this story is his Suspiria remake looks like it's going to be pushed back yet again.
Good.
I think he's the one to do it. I think he's the one to handle it, so I'll see it.
Well, at this point, I'm not even sure Argento would be the one to handle that. I'm kind of surprised, but not really, that this story is being handled quite so quickly. Alpa to take the sidelines as Joe Pa. Al Pacino attached to play Joe Paterno in an upcoming biopic based on the book Paterno by Joe Posnanski.
Yeah, it's going to cover his life. I think it's going to cover his life outside of football up to the scandal.
It's not going to include that.
I want to know who's playing Jerry Sandusky.
No, it's going to include this. The whole thing with the book is Joe Posnanski went to write a book about Paterno, moved away from his family. And he was doing this book that's a profile of his life.
And it just so
and
happens.
And then the scandal happens.
Right.
So it's like, it's going to be from that angle. Like, this was his hero. Mm-hmm. Which I think a better angle would be to tell the story of Posnanski. Because I think that'd be interesting. Like, here he's dedicating his life to write this book about Paterno. And then all this happens.
I believe Posnanski was the one who went to different institutions at Penn State. And they were like, well, why are you covering this guy? He, you know, there's things you don't know about. Yeah. And he's like, what are you talking about? Continued with his book till later on find out. So
yeah, I think it's going to be a hard sell if Paterno is the central character in this movie. I think by making the writer the central character, people may be more apt to see it because they don't feel like they're endorsing Paterno.
And I mean, it's just an interesting story because you go back to Tiger Woods. There was a guy doing the same thing with Tiger Woods when the whole cheating scandal happened.
Yeah.
So the book became something completely different. But with Posnanski, like Paterno was his hero. But I mean, get Pacino in there. It will be hard because can you make him a sympathetic figure at this point?
At this point, I don't
even
think
if you try to go from his youth and, you know, try to see everything he did, I don't know that anybody wants to see that.
No, you know where it ends up. I mean, he's not a sympathetic figure.
It's probably a bad idea all
and
around.
It's interesting because there's no telling where this lands because it's not sold yet. It's a package deal, so it could be a big screen. I think it'll end up on HBO or somewhere. Because Pacino can carry a movie in wide release, or he's played Kevorkian.
Yeah.
Like, he can carry an HBO movie. I think it'll ultimately get buried on HBO. I don't know what kind of interest there'll be.
I could see there being a little bit.
I mean, I think there'd be interest about the scandal if there's a movie just dealing with that, but I think this wants to deal with him as a person and then the scandal.
And that I don't think people are going to want to listen to. Whatever he did good in his life, at this point, right now, just, you know, essentially, you know, 6-7 months after kind of the resolution of this whole thing, I don't think anything he did prior to that, the libraries, the giving, I think a lot of that is kind of not as important right now. But there's going to be a movie with a movie star about it, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think we all know what's going to happen with Daniel Craig. Of course, he's going to come back and play Bond for another two movies. He's still relatively young, and if we use the template that's been set by Roger Moore specifically, and even Sean Connery when he went away from playing Bond and then came back, they were both older than dirt and were still able to carry the role. Now there's a bit more physicality with the Daniel Craig movies, but I think he's awesome. He's doing a hell of a job. I'm pumped for Skyfall, and I am glad that I'll get to see him at least in two more.
Juno Temple and Max Minghella will join Daniel Radcliffe in Horns.
Come back and find me if I'm wrong, but I do believe Horns has legs, per se. it's an interesting idea. It's based off a novel
by Stephen King's son.
Right. Right now, I think the problem is the demographic, where who it appeals to. But it stars Joe Anderson, who was in The Ruins, The Grey. He's in one of the Twilight movies, or maybe some of the Twilight movies. And the director did High Tension, Piranha 3D, Hills Have Eyes remake.
Yeah, it's Alexander Aja.
Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's kind of in the right wheelhouse where it could be a home run. Teaming actors that teenagers will go see, along with a director who knows how to work in this genre, I think it potentially could do all right.
Yeah, and I think we kind of talked before that the story sounds cool too.
Yeah, like, when we first talked about it, I mentioned how I wasn't so sold on it, but after that episode, I had three different people tell me, like, dude, Horns is a good book.
Yeah.
Like, read Horns. So
there's no chance I'll read it, but I'll see the movie.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm interested in it now. Plus, I want to see Danny Radcliffe in something like this.
Like The Woman in Black.
My prediction for Daniel Radcliffe always is that he wasn't going to really pursue a great career after Harry Potter. I thought he'd get stuck doing voiceover work. He said that he really enjoys the stage. But I'm glad to see he is at least making an attempt. He was in that Woman in Black.
Yeah, and I think he's only going to make movies he 100% wants to make.
I don't think he's made his money. He doesn't have to.
Yeah, you'll never see. I don't think you'll ever see him in like a cash-in movie.
Like, I hope I never see him at like a convention in, you know, Toledo or something. That's my hopes.
I think he'll be.
I'm sure he's hoping that too. Might end up seeing Heather Locklear in a convention in Toledo.
Or just at a rest stop.
A truck stop, whatever. She appears to be kind of down on her luck right now. She has signed on to play the crazy Black Swan-esque mother in Scary Movie 5.
It's just like you make these movies. Who was popular 10 years ago? How about 15 years ago? All right, grab them. That's how you make these movies.
We're going to pump out this 45-minute movie. And
if it was only 45 minutes, it'd be awesome.
I think the last one was only like 45 minutes. And people still paid $10 to go see it, and it probably won the box office.
I didn't sit through 5 minutes of it. Gonna sit through the whole thing for this sequel. Rosario Dawson confirms that she's in for Sin City 2.
It's finally shaping up. Like, it's finally
maybe 10 years late,
happen.
Like you just said, but better late than never. Felix Leiter provides a spark for Catching Fire. Jeffrey Wright, who played the CIA agent Leiter in Casino Royale, he was also in Syriana, cast as BT in Hunger Games.
He's perfect.
Like, fuck's a BT.
His acting style, it's so over the top and like so pretentious. Like, especially if you watch Source Code, I think he'll fit perfectly in here.
That's kind of why I brought it up, because I know nothing about the character. I know I've seen Syriana, I've seen Casino Royale. I like the guy. I think he's a good actor, and it seems to fit with casting good actors.
He's a classically trained actor that wants you to know he's classically trained no matter what role he's doing.
In other CIA-related movie news, Bruce Willis signs on to mentor a young agent in American Assassin adaptation. This is the 11th book in Vince Flynn's series. Good for him. That's a lot of books that I knew nothing about. Could launch a Jack Ryan-esque, I'm going to say esque a lot in this episode, a Jack Ryan-esque series for CBS Films.
I don't know that Bruce Willis has a filter anymore. I mean, this might be awesome. But I think Bruce Willis is a yes man. He can only say yes to anything offered to him. He's been in so much stuff in the last few years.
That's just where he's at now. We talked about it last week. It's like he's doing anything because he's got Garbage coming out.
And he's got Looper.
And then he's got Looper.
Out. Yeah.
And it just, he's got Die Hard 5. And then he's got straight to DVD movies with Ryan Phillippe. So it's just like, he's just doing everything.
But he's
at the point now where I think,
because he can, I guess. Like, I think
he's
there
not
are...
Michael Madsen.
No,
I
think there are two, maybe there's more than two, but there's kind of diverging paths, we'll say. There's the Daniel Radcliffe path, where you do what you want to do, because you got enough money, you don't care. You just want to make good
Bruce
movies.
Willis doesn't have enough money?
Bruce Willis has a shit ton of money, but that's the other path. Like, well, why the fuck not? Like,
plus,
am I going to say no to $3 million?
Bruce
I know
Willis,
he's making more than that. But
Bruce Willis clearly likes doing action movies.
Yeah.
And how much longer can he realistically do them? So
as
he
long
might
as
just
Sylvester
be trying
Stallone
to get it out of
him,
his system.
He's got a job. Get it out of your system or just cash in while you can. I mean, and maybe that's just Daniel Radcliffe is young, figures I've got enough money, I don't care. Bruce Willis is kind of maybe nearing the end saying, well, I better, you know, make hay while I still can. Vin Diesel, he's kind of an action guy. We might now be referring to him as the last in the Furious. Diesel signs on to be the last witch hunter for Breck Eisner.
It's based on a 2010 Blacklist script from the writer of Priest and Apollo 18. So I guess that's just proof that every once in a while the blind squirrel finds the nut.
Yeah. So this could go either way. If they take it the serious approach, it's probably going to fall flat. But if it's tongue-in-cheek and self-aware, which I don't know that Breck Eisner can do that.
Or Vin Diesel.
Yeah. Well, Vin Diesel did that Call Me Guilty or whatever it was called. That was pretty tongue-in-cheek. But I don't know that Eisner can pull it off to make it just campy fun.
Universal wants to visit the safe house again. They've hired David Guggenheim to write a sequel.
The first one's okay. It doesn't need a sequel.
I think that could be said for a lot of movies. But yeah. If they make enough money, they kind of have to have a
sequel. Because I don't think Ryan Reynolds' character was interesting enough to carry over into a second one. And the article was funny because it said, oh, Denzel Washington doesn't usually do sequels. Spoiler alert, I don't think they need him for the second one.
Jim Carrey has joined a sequel, officially. We talked about it a couple weeks ago that he was in talks to have a role in Kick-Ass 2. Well, he's now officially joined the cast as Colonel Stars.
I thought they were shooting high. I didn't think there'd any chance in hell they'd get him for it, but...
Apparently he liked Kick-Ass and wanted to be a part of the second one. I think we're all happy to see that. I'm going to go out on a limb and just say that. I'm going to speak for all of you, because that's what I can do, because I got the mic. Patty Considine to see The World's End with Edgar Wright. Of course, he's English. They need English folks.
He was in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
I don't care who joins. I just want it to happen sooner than later.
It will.
Tired of waiting.
It's coming. It'll be here before the world ends. That is my big prediction for 2012. The Big Wedding gets cold feet. Moves from October to April of 2013.
Yeah. Who cares? We talked about it in our fall preview. It just looks terrible. It's going to be terrible. Bury it in April.
Fair enough. It's well documented that this is an Andrew Kendrick house. Pitch Perfect, starring the lovely and talented, and spoiler alert, not my new co-host, Andy Kendrick, will get a limited release on September 28th to build buzz for its October 5th wide release.
Apparently there's decent buzz from screeners and stuff of people that have seen it.
Glee's really popular.
It's enjoyable.
It looks enjoyable. I mean, I'm a burly, muscular, chiseled man, and I want to see it.
I want to see it. I'm a man.
For my watch,
one of those things.
For my watch, this I almost did Up in the Air just because of Anna Kendrick.
No, man, you ingratiated the hell out of yourself to Dave.
But I do enjoy Anna Kendrick.
What about one of the Twilight movies?
No, Rocket Science.
Yeah, that's the
movie I fell in love with her in.
That's a good movie too.
That's a fantastic movie. I love Danny Rhys Thompson.
Spoiler alert: that's probably all of our watch. This is. Yeah. We're just gonna give you a bonus now. Like, seriously,
Rocket Science.
We don't generally say stop listening to our podcast and go watch this movie. Rocket Science is really good.
It's so good.
And I was in forensics when I was in high school, so that was fun too.
I wish I was an Anna Kendrick when I was in high school.
She would have been like in middle school then, Dave. Because you're an old son of a bitch.
2013 will see more old people at Christmas time as Last Vegas, starring Michael Douglas, Robert De Niro, Kevin Kline, Mary Steenburgen, and Morgan Freeman, gets a December 20th, 2013 release date.
We talked about it last week, like all these older actresses like Billy Crystal, Bette Midler, like Streisand have movies coming out around this Christmas. Same thing next
Apparently
Christmas.
Next Christmas will be no different. Expendables Assemble. Provided neither of them is in the tomb by then, the Sly Stallone Schwarzenegger movie The Tomb gets a release date of September 27th, 2013. Yeah, fair enough. That's all we need to say. I don't know anything about the movie other than, you know, it's...
That's all I need to know to know I'm not interested.
I liked that picture of them in the hospital having surgery together so that they could perform in that movie. They're like old geezers just laying in bed next to each other.
That sounds like a movie in and of itself. Sounds like that movie would be better than this one. We've kind of decided, I think, that instead of bumming you out right at the beginning of the podcast, we'll bury it in the middle somewhere. We'll get you high, we'll bring you back down, and then we'll get you high again, because that's how we roll. This news came out just literally seconds after I pressed the publish button on Monday night.
Yeah.
Michael Clarke Duncan passed away at the age of 54. Had some heart troubles.
Well, he had a heart attack a few months ago, too, and Omarosa, his girlfriend, revived him. So it just Final Destination got up to him. And it's a bummer because I tweeted that it's hard not to get black typecast when you're such a gigantic black man.
Ah, yes.
But he is super talented, and I don't think ever got enough credit for it. He was good in pretty much everything he was in. Like, you watch him in Green Mile, he's phenomenal in that.
Even
the comedies he did after that, the whole Nine Yards, mm-hmm. he was funny in. Slammin' Salmon, he was great, even though that movie was subpar. And then even Daredevil. Daredevil was garbage, but he was interesting as Kingpin. Like, he was just somebody who was interesting to watch and could do it all. Like, he could be funny. He could be vicious. He could be lovable. Like, he was very... He had a lot of range. And
yeah.
I don't think people appreciated that about him.
I think his journey to the screen kind of sums up the type of person and type of actor he was. He was a bodyguard for Will Smith and some other actors. And everyone kind of just noticed, like, he's very outgoing, like, very just talented. And it was just a matter of time before they took him from guarding their bodies to appearing on the big screen.
I'm personally... glad that he did make that transition. I wanted to kind of put maybe one of his lesser known movies in my watch this, but I mean, I couldn't. Like, the whole Nine Yards, I don't think is that. It's pretty popular. I mean, I wouldn't say that's a lesser known movie.
He got a sequel.
He was really good. And I mean, Green Mile, like, I can't imagine that there's that many people out there, at least listening to this podcast, that haven't seen that movie. But that was a tremendous performance. I kind of felt like. That was definitely worthy of being nominated for an Oscar, and I absolutely thought it was worthy of winning one too. It just unfortunately didn't quite work out for him.
Yeah, no, it sucks, and I like seeing him and stuff, and it just sucks that
he's got a couple other projects that'll be one of them I know is finished filming. So I mean, it's we'll see him a couple more times, but there again, at 54, talented dude, gone a little bit too soon. At this point, we're going to, I've been talking about it for a couple weeks, do our fantasy film ball live draft with Dave and I. Kevin's going to kind of handicap our selections and basically just criticize us and call us stupid.
Yes,
Kevin, think of a number between 1 and 10.
Okay.
Oh, that's how this is going to work.
Kevin, you go first.
Why would I go
first?
No,
Ryan, I'm looking.
You say what the number was, and then I will go, and then if I get the number
What
that
number
you said,
do you pick?
I'm Ryan. Going to pick 5.
I'm going to do 7.
I did 7.
Okay.
I'm going
first. So you're
going
to have the first pick.
So do you want to set up the rules again? We're each going to pick 5 movies. You get 1 point per $1 million.
Is that do you want to do 1 point per million, or do you want to go 1 point for every 10 million? I started thinking, like, if the Avengers...
Oh, wait, that's what it was. 1 point for every 10 million,
no,
I
it was... I said 1 per million, and then I thought,
that's
holy shit, that is ridiculous.
I just read it as 1 per 10.
As okay. Handicapper, I agree that 10 million...
Yeah, right. No, that's what good. I thought it was. I read it like that, but I just assumed it was 10.
Yeah,
I
no,
that's
I,
dumb.
I didn't ever write it like that, but I was like, oh, shit, that's not a good idea.
Because so it makes some of them interesting, especially like the Oscar bait movies.
That's kind
They're
of
They're not going to make yeah. 10 million, yeah. possibly, but they are going to.
It's 1 for 10, and yeah. then, what, 5 for nominations,
and
then 10 for wins?
I think so, yeah. I've redone the scoring several times.
Now,
but...
is all Academy Awards 10, or
yes.
is that only the made? Okay.
Because I didn't want to say this one's more important than that one, so just
and the
fuck
box
it.
Office is just up until
December
31st.
Yes.
So I have the first pick.
The
I think pick. The obvious pick. I think it probably had to be what you would have picked if you got first.
Probably
The Hobbit.
Yeah, that
has
was my
to
first
be.
Pick.
Hobbit's a fantastic pick because it is going to garner plenty of nominations, as well as it's going to make money. I mean, just based on
and
the...
And it comes out on the 14th.
Yeah.
Plenty
I was,
of time to make
I was
money.
Thinking
yeah.
it was the 25th, but it's
yeah.
the 14th, so
yeah.
it's got 2 or 3 weeks.
That's probably... I mean, you absolutely cannot go wrong with that pick. It's going to get you best of both worlds, and it might end up winning the entire thing for you.
Yeah, I kind of... That's the other reason I wanted to go 1 for every 10, because I thought, this is going to get ugly. I guess for my first pick, I'm going to go... fuck it. Like, I was hoping to get The Hobbit since I didn't get it. Now I'm just going balls out. I'm going Lincoln. I think Daniel Day-Lewis always gets nominated for Best Actor. I'm banking on him to win it. Give me Steven Spielberg, too. Maybe a Best Director. I'm hoping a little bit of box office, but a shit ton of Oscar wins.
See, I knew you were going Lincoln, and I'm glad you were, because what I was going to take at number 2, if I assumed you would get the number 1 pick because I thought it'd be rigged, I'm going to take Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2.
Oh, good, because that didn't even make my list.
That's going to make an enormous amount of money, probably 200, 300, 400 million, maybe more because it's the last one.
I don't expect...
400 million?
Not 400 million.
That's a lot of millions.
It's probably in the 250 range scenario.
You're not going to get any Oscar nominations. I'll go out and let me say that.
Design.
Not for Kristen Stewart.
For wardrobe.
Maybe.
Or makeup.
It could.
It could get some backdoor Oscar nominations.
What if it gets Razzies? Do you lose points?
No.
I don't think it's going to get...
I don't want to complicate this that much.
I don't think it's going to win any, but I think it might get some backdoor Oscars, some technical stuff.
I absolutely had it on my list. I wouldn't have taken it second on my list, but with The Hobbit and Lincoln off the board.
But Dave's already picked The Hobbit, so what does it matter what he picks from here on out, really?
Yeah.
Because I don't see Lincoln as a big moneymaker.
No, I don't really
either. I think you're going to make up for it in awards, but...
That's my hope.
Yeah.
The next movie, I do think it's going to make some money. I can almost guarantee a nomination for Best Animated Feature, and that's Wreck-It Ralph. That's going to be my second
pick. Another interesting second pick with a lot. There's lots of movies on the board that are going to win awards, and some going to make some money, some both. But Wreck-It Ralph, it's animated, and it looks awesome. I'm going to see it. I think everyone younger than me will probably see it. It's going to make big money, so, and it comes out at a good time. So I think it's a good pick. It's scary with, there's a couple movies left on the board that I would have taken before Wreck-It Ralph.
Yeah, I'm glad he went Wreck-It Ralph, because I'm going to go with my third pick, Argo. I think Ben Affleck, he's already been nominated. Like, if it delivers, I think it's going to do well at the box office. It's an ensemble cast, so you have a lot of chances of sneaking some Oscars in. It's a period piece, kind of, so you might get some costume stuff, like... It's another one that I think might do well with the backdoor Oscars, but also could sneak into the major categories.
I think it's going to do well internationally as well, not just in the U.S. And I do think somewhere along the way it probably will garner some nominations. I'm not as optimistic for the box office. I think it's going to be a fantastic movie. I think it's going to be revered by critics. I don't know about how many tens of millions it's going to make at the box office.
For my third pick, and then I'll just recap what we each have so far, just in case anybody gives a shit. I'm a little hesitant to take this so high because I know that you're not high on it at all, but I want to make sure that I get it. Yeah, it's Cloud Atlas.
It's not on my list at all.
That's fine. I think that it's going to be really good. I think it's going to make a lot of money. I think there could be some visual aspects that could get some Oscar noms. Maybe like a Best Original Screenplay, I think. I mean, this is going to be one I'm either going to be right and it's going to be an awesome pick, or I'm going to be wrong, and it's maybe not awesome, but I feel like at three, like, I could probably take a swing.
I personally didn't have Cloud Atlas on my list of drafting. I mean, it's down there somewhere if it got to it, but it's too much uncertainty for me. It could make a ton of money and be awesome. It could completely bomb. I don't know at this point. It's too unpredictable.
All right, but just to recap, Dave has got The Hobbit, Twilight, and Argo. I've taken Lincoln, Wreck-It Ralph, and Cloud Atlas. Dave's fourth pick.
My fourth pick, I only got two picks left. I have three movies, so I'm hoping you pick one of them, just because I can't decide. I think for the fourth one, I'm going to go box office side again, Rise of the Guardians. I think it'll do well at the box office. Could possibly sneak in there for an animated nomination, because what's the competition this year?
Right.
You got Brave.
Wreck-It Ralph. Brave.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Ice Age, maybe.
I don't see Ice Age. Ice Age of Madagascar, I don't see pushing, but if this does well, I think it could sneak in there.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, I'm probably not going to bail you out, I don't think, on any of the things that you have left. I'm going to go with another one that's kind of out there. May make some money. Maybe it won't make some money, but it definitely has some 3D money that'll be coming in, at least for me. I'm going to go Life of Pi.
Wow.
Yes.
That's off the radar.
That's very...
It's. I feel like it's a bit off the radar, but...
I mean, Ang Lee has good history with the Academy.
Good and bad. Again, it's one that's either like Cloud Atlas. I think people will look at it and say, oh, this is really neat. This is something that's different. I'm interested to see the story, or they're going to say this is entirely, I don't want to say it's too conceptual, but maybe it is too conceptual for folks.
My fifth one, you didn't bail me out. I'm going to go Zero Dark Thirty.
That's a good choice.
I think it'll do well at the box office. I think it could sneak its way into some Oscars.
It's Kathryn Bigelow, so yeah. I mean, right there, it's going
to... It's her follow-up to her Best Picture, right. Best Director win.
It's going to be in the mix.
So, plus the topic, I think it'll do well. I think, and the cast is so good, another ensemble that you might sneak a couple nominations in there acting-wise, just because there's so many to choose from.
Yeah, that's really, really good pick for, especially for your fifth pick.
From a fifth pick, yeah.
For my fifth pick, I'm doing another one that is probably not going to make a lot of money. Probably make less than Zero Dark Thirty, but I'm hoping that it gets a couple more Academy Award nominations. You probably do. I'm surprised that out of 10 movies, this is the 10th one that's picked on this fucking podcast, and it's The Master.
Yeah. See, I almost did, but it's going to make so little at the box office. And Paul Thomas Anderson isn't a lock. Like, especially coming from...
I'm not sure that he is, but I'm...
Seymour Hoffman should be.
Yes, it's a lock for nomination. It's absolutely... Joaquin,
that's what I'm looking at.
Cinematography.
Yeah, but I mean... So, I mean, that's a pick where you're relying 100% on awards. Yeah. Which, that's... I mean, that seems to be where you... I think it's clear I was box office heavy... I think you were more thinking the award side.
I think we're definitely more box office heavy, but I think that Cloud Atlas is going to make a lot of money. I think that Wreck-It Ralph's going to make a lot, but
I would have taken The Master much higher, so maybe I wouldn't have fared as well. The problem is shot 70mm, so it's getting a very limited release. They're adapting it for some theaters, but it's just not going to get enough screens to make the money. But I think it will do well.
I mean, I had 9 movies on my draft board. That was 9th.
The ones that... Are you guys done now?
Yeah. We'll reset the 5, and then you can...
Okay,
like,
perfect.
Yeah, you've got 5. You can give us your 5 right after that. Dave, why don't you tell the people what you've got?
My 5, I got The Hobbit, Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2, Argo, Rise of the Guardians, and Zero Dark Thirty.
I've got Lincoln, Wreck-It Ralph, Cloud Atlas, The Life of Pi, and The Master. And Kevin is, like you guys, if you'd like to participate, you certainly can. Send us your 5 movies, and I will cheat my ass off and make sure that you all lose. But, you know, you can have, you know, take all 5 movies from the list that Dave and I have. We just didn't want to have any overlap because it's more fun between the two of us. But, you know, everyone else couldn't be here to do a live draft, so you guys take whatever 5 movies you want.
Before we move on to Kevin, though, my 6th one, the one that I was debating between... I would say Guardians, Zero Dark Thirty, and this one, we're all pretty much tied. Flight.
Yeah,
I think Denzel's going to get serious consideration.
I thought you were going to pick that.
I was close.
It's on my list, but I, only having just the one pick left, I was like, no, I really...
It was close. Yeah. It was between that or Zero Dark Thirty, and yeah. I went Dark Thirty.
So instead of naming my 5, what I'm going to do is take a look at...
You're going to bitch out and not name your 5?
It's going to be ones that were on your guys' list.
Fair enough.
I'm going to take a look at ones that you didn't draft that I think had potential. Paranormal Activity 4.
I had that, but that's going to make like 120.
In a week.
Yeah, but then that's it. You're going to get like 12 points off that.
It might linger for a while.
Because you're not getting any award stuff. Like your best is 15 points at most.
Tarantino's Django Unchained, I think, could be in the mix for some awards, and I think...
Real late, though.
It is real late.
It's Christmas, so you're not
going to... You're only going to the end of the year.
Yeah, you've got about a week.
Okay.
So,
Hotel Transylvania, which is just another animated option.
That was probably in
another
my 11 or 12 one, yeah. range.
And
yeah.
Looper.
Yeah, Looper actually... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was number 6 on my list. I didn't end up taking it, but you know, I guess if I'd had another pick, I didn't select anything... Actually, yeah, The Master was number 8, so I went off the reservation.
Because the stuff I had that didn't make my like final 9, I had Looper, I had Transylvania, I had Paranormal Activity 4, but I had Killing Them Softly, might sneak in there with some mm-hmm. stuff. Here Comes the Boom, just because Kevin James makes some money.
Fuck, I wish you'd have picked that.
And then Silver Linings Playbook might sneak out some awards, especially with how much they love J-Law. That's it. As far as...
There's really only maybe about 3 movies that didn't make my list. And they... Well, I mean, that I didn't draft. They didn't... None of them made your list, which is why I'm going to bring them up. Frankenweenie, I thought, could make a bunch of money. I don't know, you know, how well it would do for awards. But that was one I was considering just based off of box office. Pretty much the exact opposite of that based off just awards. Very close to picking The Sessions. I absolutely think that's going to get best actor. And I would not be shocked... if Helen Hunt got a nomination for
possible
actress.
But I think that's it. Best case scenario is those two.
Yeah.
And you're going to make nothing at the box office.
Right, which is why, obviously, I didn't pick it. My third one, again, was based solely off box office, because this guy, for whatever reason, people go see his movies, almost picked Alex Cross. That was kind of low on the list, but I thought, you know, Tyler Perry, his fans are going to be there, and then, you know, fans of movies that aren't Madea.
I'll put this out now. My idea of Tyler Perry and the Madea movie specifically are they're the new Ernest franchise. And I know that you're an Ernest fan,
they do much better.
Yeah, they make tons of money.
That's brilliant. I want to say that didn't I send that to you at some point?
You sent me a text that I had no clue what it was. I had to ask you what it was.
Yeah. I didn't know if I said it on the podcast or if I just... But yeah, that thought occurred to me.
You're not
going to
pick your five right now?
No. It's the same. I mean, I obviously would have...
You're going to pick it next week then. Okay. I'm going to make you do it.
I obviously would have had The Hobbit number one because it's going to win all the awards. It's going to make all the money. It's going to make all the monies. Lincoln, definitely. I would have had The Master much higher. I probably would have taken Looper, which would have been different from your guys' lists. And toss up between Twilight and Paranormal Activity. But like you said, Paranormal Activity probably wins the box office once, and then...
I mean, I think it ends up making about 120, but then that's it. You're not going to get awards. You're not going to get anything else for it.
Yeah, but... If you've got the awards with, say, The Hobbit or The Master, it kind of balances out because then you can get a nice chunk of money. Might be the difference. Every point counts.
Yeah. I think, you know, the strategy was either go heavy on box office, heavy on awards, or try and pick something that's going to do both.
I think, realistically, there's probably only two that are going to do both.
Yeah. We'll have to see. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, the picks that you guys have, you know, being able to select any five you want, you'll all score way more points than Dave and I, but you know, we're nice to our listeners. We're gonna go ahead and fly through some trailers. We got a bunch because we didn't do any last week, so we're just gonna stuff them all in this week. There's not a lot of great ones, not a lot to say.
There's some good ones.
Not a lot of great ones. The first one, Sightseers. It's a British movie. The way I looked at it, it's kind of like God Bless America, European Vacation.
It's from the director of The Kill List, which was amazing. Brought to you by executive producer Edgar Wright. I think it looks fantastic. It looks way different than Kill List, which I'm interested to see. It looks hilarious. It looks dark. I'm 100% on board.
Kill List got a little weirder than expected for me, but I loved it. I think this is going to be nuts just because they show so many deaths in the trailer.
The body count in just the trailer is
right. So what's going to happen in the movie? I mean, they can't, you know.
Lots of dead bodies in Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters. Most of the dead bodies happen to belong to witches. Looks a bit better than Abraham Lincoln.
A bit.
One thing we talk shit on that movie is it didn't have any stars. This has Jeremy Renner movie
But
star.
What's Bamford up Jameson. With his voice? What is Jeremy Renner doing with his voice?
He's doing the Brad Pitt Troy thing where you just have to have an accent for the sake of having an accent.
This follows in the footsteps of Snow White and the Huntsman. It's just we're going to see six of these before ultimately...
And if they end up being good, then that's okay. The to-do list looks pretty good. I think it's what you do with the funniest people from TV. Aubrey Plaza, Donald Glover, Andy Samberg,
There's
Bill
a
Hader.
Million people yeah. in this. It looks... I've been excited for this since they announced it forever ago, and... It's going to be great. I think it's going to be hilarious.
The right people are involved. We're getting a little bit more of Aubrey Plaza, which she has played
Safety
the same.
Safety guaranteed.
Yeah.
Our next joint, Robert Redford movie, The Company You Keep.
Looks awesome, I think. Shia LaBeouf is a journalist, like Susan Sarandon and Robert Redford as old school protesters that got away with a crime and now... LaBeouf's trying to hunt down Rob. I think it looks amazing.
I like the look of it, the feel of it. The thing is, every time you see Robert Redford on screen and someone's chasing him, I'm waiting for him to shout, "I didn't kill my wife!" Because it looks kind of fugitive-esque.
Plus, who plays the... Oh, yeah, Anna Kendrick's in this.
No!
Right.
I think it looks amazing. I think this is a big thing for Shia. I think he's going to carry this movie. I think he's going to bounce right off of Redford. And
he's going to bounce off him like he's going to be bouncing off.
Like, he's going to be able to hold himself on screen with Robert Redford, which not everybody can do. And LaBeouf gets a bunch of crap, but I think he's going to pull it off.
I was just making a joke about him in that Lars von Trier movie. Yeah. That's all. Dave put a found footage movie on here, and it is called The Bay. Found footage, yeah.
It looks amazing.
Definitely.
The reason
it's one of the creepiest trailers I've seen in a while.
The reason it's interesting, it's Barry Levinson.
That's what I was getting at with poor Dustin Hoffman
impersonation.
He did
Rain Man and Wag the Dog, and it's kind of found footage meets Contagion.
Yeah, it looks like a found footage Contagion. It's not like a found footage as far as like handy cams. It looks like there's news footage. It looks like there's security. It looks like it's a nice mixture of everything. About just a town that gets shut down from this parasite that eats people from the inside and turns them into zombies?
To be honest, if it wasn't Barry Levinson, I probably wouldn't.
I think the trailer is creepy as hell.
I think the trailer looks really neat. The fact that it is Barry Levinson, I think, puts it over the top.
It looks like Contagion, but scary.
And good. Because I did not like Contagion at all.
Do plan on liking The Iceman. That's Michael Shannon, looking scarier than hell as the real-life mob hitman for 20 years was going around whacking people off. Ray Liotta, big surprise, is playing a mobster.
Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Like, holy shit, this movie looks fucking amazing. The fucking gore is gonna... There's so many headshots just
even
in the
trailer. Yeah.
Like, it's gonna be brutal, it's gonna be intense, it's gonna be... And fucking Michael Shannon, Jesus, he's perfect for this.
Yeah, he really is.
It's actually the second movie based on this guy. The first one had Mickey Rourke, and it was a pile of dung.
The producer of this, somebody else had the rights, and they wanted to move forward with this movie starring Channing Tatum. They asked for an extension because they had to be in production by a certain point. He said, oh, you want Channing Tatum as the Iceman? No. No extension, so right call.
Yeah, I think so too, and that's nothing against Channing Tatum.
I love Channing Tatum.
Oh, I know.
But he's not Michael Shannon.
No, he's not. He's C. Tates. Next movie we're going to talk about is called The Comedy, and I guess it's not necessarily a comedy. It stars the folks from Tim and Eric, Wareheim and Heidecker, with some other folks.
It's not even a trailer.
No.
It's a weird setup trailer.
Two
it's
guys fucking around with a bunch of terrible...
Terrible reviews.
Yeah.
But you know what? Makes me kind of want to check it out.
I do want to check it out. To me, this looks like if you put Tim and Eric in a Lars von Trier movie, this is what
you get. That's exactly what it looked like. That's exactly what I thought.
Except with not as good cinematography and less penis.
Shia Ween.
Well, Shia Ween, Willem Dafoe Ween, you know, whatever Ween. Not a lot of Ween... looks like it's going to be visible in Ginger and Rosa. But the one thing that I did take away from this trailer, Christina Hendricks' boobs.
And Elle Fanning's red hair?
Yeah, whatever.
Boobs.
I think it'll be good. I think this is like Elle Fanning. I think she could ride off of Dakota Fanning and be doing big movies just on her name. But
you think she could bounce off Christina Hendricks?
She totally does in this. So it seems like she wants to take that indie route that Dakota Fanning's taken for the most part, too.
Yeah, whatever. 2-1. Boobs have it. We talked at the very end of our fall preview. I think we mentioned parental guidance. And I can't remember if I was shitty towards this movie last week. If I wasn't then, I'm going to be now after seeing the trailer.
Let's see how we couldn't
shitty.
Be.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Billy Crystal and Bette Midler, how could we not shit on that? And then you see the trailer and it's like, holy shit, this is even more Billy Crystal-y and Bette Midler-y than I expected. There's a fucking nut shot in the trailer, and then a callback to the nut shot later. Like, they got three scenes from the nut shot. They got the nut shot, the after reaction
in the
to the
trailer,
nut shot,
which is
and then a callback
minutes.
To the nut shot.
Yeah.
It looks fucking terrible.
The next one, I can't say that the movie really intrigues me, but Wuthering Heights, the interesting thing I found about this, well, I like the song that was in the trailer. That was neat. And the aspect ratio.
Yeah.
Really fucked up. I don't know why.
That's how it was for Fish Tank too, though.
Yeah, but I don't understand why that's being done for this movie.
It's from the same director that did Fish Tank, which is the only reason I have any interest in it. Fish Tank was done the same way.
I don't get it. I don't understand why.
I don't know. Something British.
Yeah, whatever. Maybe if somebody could explain it to me, that'd be all right. But if not, you know, whatever. Didn't need Grave Encounters, but we're getting a Grave Encounters too. I'll probably just DVR Ghost Adventures instead.
I'd never even heard of Grave Encounters.
Me either.
This is like the kind of thing that's usually up my alley, and I knew nothing about it until I saw Grave Encounters 2 trailer.
The thing I like is it looks like Marble Hornets, which if you've ever gone on YouTube and typed in Marble Hornets, it's the whole Slenderman craze. It's really neat. It's legitimately scary. And
it looks like it might have legit spooks in it.
Yeah.
And then there's the effects don't look bad for what's obviously low budget. Like, I kind of want to go see them. And it's obvious that he's based off Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures. Like,
100%. That's what I was saying.
Like, I want to kind of watch both of them.
After seeing that trailer, I thought this next one, I was like, oh, cool, a zombie movie in Europe. It's not. It's called Dead Europe, so it's pretty easy. Well, I think it's easy to make that leap that that's what it's about.
I think it's going to be awesome. It's from some of the producers of Animal Kingdom. An Australian guy goes over to Europe, and then shit happens. I think it's going to be awesome.
With the little crazy kid from...
For the past, 5 years, Australia's been putting out, really great crime dramas, and I think this is going to be one of them.
This must be the place. This must be the one where Sean Penn essentially just dresses like Edward Scissorhands.
This Here's how I describe This Must Be the Place. This is Sean Penn playing Johnny Depp playing Robert Smith in a Tim Burton biopic.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
But it looks awesome. I just love Sean. The way he talks and everything, it's just silly.
When I saw the pictures from this, probably a year ago or more, I didn't know anything about the film, and I was like, holy shit, what is Sean Penn doing? I thought he was playing an aging rocker or something.
He is.
So seeing the trailer, it looks awesome. It looks great.
He's an aging rocker that looks like Robert Smith, but that's not what the story is. The story is that he wants to hunt down and kill the Nazi that tormented his father in World War II.
In the concentration camp, yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's looking for a Nazi colonel from Auschwitz.
Nothing about this makes sense. But I want to see it.
I think this movie desperately needs a title change. Much like The Bitch of War, I think they should just change it to Sean Penn.
Well, it's named after
Nazi
a Flaming Lips song.
Yeah, but I still think it needs a better title.
It's a Flaming Lips song, and then it's what? David Byrne does the soundtrack. Right.
Either way, I want it changed to a name that I can remember what it is.
Sean Penn, creepy rock guy.
Yeah,
movie.
That makes sense.
Tim Burton's The Cure.
Yeah, even that would be okay.
Starring Sean Penn as Johnny Depp.
As Robert Smith.
In a Tim Burton film. And the last one, we saved the one nearest and dearest to Dave's heart for last. That is The Dust Up, done by one of his
friends. My buddy from high school, Ward Roberts. It's his second, full length. His first one was Little Big Top, starring Sid Haig. Wasn't the greatest movie, had pacing issues. This one I'm excited for. It'll be different.
It will be different. I think when I watched the trailer, I was expecting this was a studio movie. Or, and I was like, boy, this looks like it could be a cool movie. It just looks like it's going to be done not up to the standards that I would think that a studio movie, should be.
It's very ambitious.
It fooled me into thinking that this was just a bad studio movie, which, is not a bad thing. It's just, I didn't know what to expect going into it. I think there are aspects of the story that make me interested. The trailer had me interested. I just thought, boy, I wish, there was some more money that was put into this. But, what can you do at that point?
I mean, I'm excited to see it because I can't look at it unbiased. I watch the trailer and I think, I really want to see this. But I love Ward, I'm close with the director, so it's hard. That's kind of why I wanted to talk about it, because I wanted unbiased eyes on it.
Well, you got mine. That's it.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. It looked good. It looked like something I would probably pick up at a convention and watch enjoy. And to the point Ryan made, I didn't believe that this was a studio movie, and I didn't know that your underlying idea was, that was your buddy's movie, but yeah, it looked enjoyable enough. I would definitely watch it, and I would probably enjoy it.
It's like a neo-western revenge flick.
Yeah, it seemed like a Tarantino movie, which I like.
You could tell it's heavily influenced by.
Yeah, which is great. I just thought, boy, it seems like it should be a Tarantino movie, but it doesn't look like one.
Yeah.
But there again, there's only so much you can do is kind of being an indie filmmaker, so that's okay. Do you want to talk about your other indie movie that's near and dear to
your
heart?
It's not online yet, but there's a movie called Cleveland, I Love You. The trailer premiered in an event in Cleveland this past Thursday.
Who stars in that, Dave?
It stars Gillian Jacobs from Community.
Yeah, it does.
Busy Phillips from Cougar Town.
Yeah, it does.
And Dave Bacella from Movies On Up with Ryan and Dave. So, yeah, I'm in it. I'm probably not in the trailer. I'd assume not. But look online. It'll probably be up in the next week or so.
Hover. And when it does come up, I'm sure Dave will let me know. And I'll make
sure
mention it. He'll, send me a text or something. Definitely won't be in theaters this week. We can rule that out. What will be in theaters is a shit ton of stuff flying at your face. Fish and Bullets, not in the same movie. Finding Nemo 3D will be released wide this week, as well as the latest
from Paul W.S. Anderson, Resident Evil Retribution. Also in limited release this week, 10 years, the C. Tate's movie, Arbitrage, Richard Gere's movie, Stolen, it's the Nick Cage taxicab joint, The Master, which is on my fantasy film ball team, and Liberal Arts, which is the Josh Radnor and Lizzie Olson.
25 for Finding Nemo. Lion King performed massively in September last year.
I'm going over.
Yeah, I am too. 15 for Evil.
I'll go over too.
Yeah, I'll go over on both of those.
I'll take over.
So we're all three of us are going over on both of them.
Yeah.
That makes it really easy.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in Resident Evil at all, but
I think I'm not either.
I think people some people
I haven't watched any since the I watched the first one, walked out of the second one, and then never went back.
Well, good for you. You were probably smarter than I am. I've seen them all. I've seen one on Netflix or, you know, whatever.
But look at the limiteds this week. I'd see 10 years just because whatever.
Yeah.
Arbitrage, I'd see just for Britt Marling pretty much.
Yeah.
Stolen, I'll skip. The Master, I'll see. Yeah, Liberal eventually. Arts has my interest.
Yeah, I would say four or five of those.
I still don't know how I feel about Happy Thank You More Please with
Josh Radnor. Yet because I can't get over my hatred for him on that show.
I like Malin Ackerman, but I...
Which is weird because you don't even watch the show.
I don't watch the show exactly. Because I don't like him so much. Okay.
But yeah, Happy Thank You More. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. It's just, I watched it. I didn't really feel anything for it. I thought about it, and I still don't know how I feel about it. Whether I liked it. I've heard people say it's the worst movie they've ever seen. And some people say, yeah, I enjoyed it. It's a good, you know, indie darling. But Josh Radnor kind of plays out of his element a little bit. I don't know.
All right. Well, like I said before, I'd seen most of the Resident Evil movies on Netflix. Not going to be suggesting that anybody does that this weekend. But if you are poking around Netflix or VOD, Dave, why don't you give a suggestion to the folks?
Kill List? I don't know if I'm stealing yours.
No.
It's Kill List, Ben Wheatley's movie from last year. It's pretty intense, pretty insane.
Watch the trailer for Sightseers and then go see the Kill List.
Yeah, they're two completely different movies, I can tell. But
well, but, you know.
The Kill List will be fun.
I wanted to pay some respect to Michael Clarke Duncan. We said earlier, I don't think anybody ever accused him of being the greatest actor, but he sure played his role as well. So I'm suggesting to watch Broken Lizard, Slammin' Salmon. It's got some good laughs. Michael Clarke Duncan is hilarious. Everything he says in that movie is a one-liner. It also stars...
Olivia Munn.
Yeah, Olivia Munn. There's a handful. It's all the Broken Lizard guys. It didn't get the wide release that like Beer Fest got, but it's still funny.
I think it's the weaker of all their movies, but he is definitely phenomenal.
Yeah, he's really hilarious. There's a lot of one-liners.
Jay Chandrasekhar's part is the best. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of good laughs in it. It's worth a watch, but it's not up to par with the rest of them.
Yeah, I kicked around a lot of ideas, but I figured, you know, rest in peace, Michael Clarke Duncan.
Yeah, I was kind of doing the same thing, and I mean, I'm not to outsmart the room, but, you know, if you haven't seen either of Green Mile or even The Whole Nine Yards, they're both different types of movies, different performances from Michael Clarke Duncan, but check those two out. And if you're a high schooler, see the underground comedy movie. He plays a big, giant gay dude, smaller role, but he's really funny in that, too. It's not necessarily a funny movie. It's kind of gross, but, you know, check it out. While you're doing all that stuff, why don't you get your little sketch pad out? Or if you do it on the computer, that's fine too. I don't know how people design shit nowadays. But redo our logo. Help us out. You can send it to us, moviesonup@gmail.com. Tweet it at us, @moviesonup. Or you could probably put it on our Facebook page and we could probably hijack it from there.
Yep.
And I guess also, this is a point where we usually plug each other. Dave, why don't you go ahead, Dave?
Find me on Twitter, @DaveBasella. I will be around for the rest of the month, but I'll be on Twitter still. Check out DaveBasella.com. My other show, Eric and Dave Talking with Eric and Dave, we just recorded 3 episodes, so we'll have most of September filled, so I'll still be having some new stuff. But other than that, just find me on Twitter, @DaveBasella.
Kevin, where can people find you?
I also do the social networking thing, Kevin Bradway on Facebook, @KevinBradway on Twitter. I do Instagram, but you can find all that stuff through my...
Pinterest.
I don't do Pinterest, no, unfortunately.
I don't even know what that is. I don't do any of that shit. But if you want to find me, you can on the 25th of October, 8 o'clock, Tinseltown. Riff Tracks are doing their version of Birdemic, which I am so over the moon to see. So come on down, 8 o'clock, that Thursday of Halloween week, or pre-Halloween, whatever it ends up being, the 25th. Check us out at Tinseltown or on the internet, we're movies on up. Thanks, Dave. Good luck with your child.
Yes.
And
I'll see you in October.
Yeah. Till then, keep it up.